Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Jaya Godadha Shivasadi
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 13, 1982 at New Taliban Farm in Carrier, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 5, Verse 19.
Karoti Bachalam Kangulanga Yate Gringa Tripat Mahangbande Sigurum Inataninam Idam Sari Ranga Mamadur Vibhavyam
Idam Sari Ramamadur Vibhavyam
Satvam Hime Hidayam Yatra Dharma
Satvam Hime Hidayam Yatra Dharma
Prishte Krito Me Yada Dharma Adat
Prishte Krito Me Yada Dharma Adat
Ato himang rishabham prahu radya.
Ato himang
rishabham
prahu radya.
Idam sariram mamadur vibhavyam.
Idam sariram mamadur vibhavyam.
Satvam hime hiddayam yatra dharma
Satvam hime hiddayam yatra dharma
Krishte krito me yada dharma adat
Krishte krito me yada dharma adat
Ato himam rishavam prahuradya
Ato himam rishavam prahuradya
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada My transcendental body, Satchidananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart have I abandoned your religion, O Dharma. And non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabha Deva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all the living entities. Report by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words idam sariram mamadur vibhavyam are very significant. Generally, we experience two energies, material energy and spiritual energy. We have some experience of the material energy, earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. Because in the material world, everybody's body is composed of these elements. Within the material body is the spirit soul, but we cannot see it with the material eyes. When we see a body full of spiritual energy, it is very difficult for us to understand how the spiritual energy can have a body. It is said that Lord Rishabhadeva's body is completely spiritual, therefore, for a materialistic person, it is very difficult to understand. For a materialistic person, this completely spiritual body is inconceivable. We have to accept the version of the Vedas when our experimental perception cannot understand an object, a subject. As stated in Brahma Sanghita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. The Supreme Lord has a body with form, but that body is not composed of material elements. It is made of spiritual bliss, eternity, and living force. By the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord can appear before us in His original spiritual body. But because we have no experience of the spiritual body, We are sometimes bewildered and see the form of the Lord as material. The Mayavadi philosophers are completely unable to conceive of a spiritual body. They say that the spirit is always impersonal. And whenever they see something personal, they take it for granted that it is material. In Bhagavad Gita 9:11 it is said, Avajananti mangamudha manushingam tanuvasritam param bhava ajananto mama bhuta maheswaram. Quote, fools deride me when I descend in a human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Unintelligent people think that the Supreme Lord accepts a body composed of the material energy. We can easily understand the material body, but we cannot understand the spiritual body. Therefore, Rishabhadeva says, Idam sariram mamadur vibhavyam. In the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body. There is no conception of material existence there. In the spiritual world, there is only service and the receiving of service. There is only sevya, seva, and sevaka. The person served, the process of service, and the servant. These three items are completely spiritual, and therefore the spiritual world is called absolute. There's no tinge of material contamination there, being completely transcendental to the material conception. Lord Rishabhadeva states that his heart is composed of dharma. Dharma is explained in Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Sarva dharman parityaja mamakam saranam vraja. In the spiritual world, every living entity is surrendered to the Supreme Lord and is completely on the spiritual platform. Although there are servitors, the served and service, all are spiritual and variegated. At the present moment, due to our material conception, everything is durvibhavya, inconceivable. Being the Supreme, the Lord is called Rishabha, the best. In terms of the Vedic language, nityo nityanam, we are also spiritual, but we are subordinate. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the foremost living entity. The word Rishabha means the chief or the supreme and indicates the supreme being or God himself. Thus, in the purport of text 19, chapter 5, canto 5 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, translated with purports by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So here, Rishabhadeva is instructing his sons that although his transcendental body looks like a human form, but it's not a material human body. It's inconceivable. It is actually made of spiritual Satchit-Ananda truths. This is what the impersonalist philosophers as well as the materialists can understand. This is how God can come to the earth and appear to be like a human being. And here he explains the mystery for his devotees, that he can come appearing like a human being and actually he's not a human being, doesn't have a material body at all. He has a spiritual body which is so versatile, which is so wonderful that it can appear like a human being, look just like a human form, but actually it is made of pure spiritual energy. Actually, this shouldn't be too difficult to understand, because even in the materialists are able to create a body that looks just like a human body, although it's not at all. In fact, Walt Disney in his exhibits, he has got these robots which are able to walk and talk and speak. They have a Mark Twain and a Ben Franklin robot at their latest exhibit, which is famed for being so real that hardly anyone can tell they're robots at all. They walk on the stage and they speak everything. They cost millions and millions of dollars. Well, if a materialist can make a machine that looks just like a human being and talks, then you think that God can't have a spiritual form that can look just like a human form? The materialist can do it from a dead, the other materialist, then why can't God do it from a superior energy, an absolute potency like a spiritual potency? So they shouldn't try to limit God that he can't come down, or that because he comes down, then he's just like us. He's another one of the prisoners in this cage. We are in the material world prisoner, but he's always in the transcendental platform. Also, sometimes people accuse God of having bad qualities or causing people to suffer because of various, they try to infer that he has got some kind of defect for that. But here it's very clearly said that actually within the heart of the Lord, there's no adharma, there's no irreligion, there's no non-devotional qualities. Actually, whatever the living entities are suffering or enjoying in the dream of this material world is simply due to their own activities. Somebody wants to cause someone else to suffer. So that's part of the desire. And so then someone else who deserves to suffer is put in that position. So thus everyone is satisfied. There are people here who are not having this type of pure heart. They'd like people to suffer. They would actually like people to suffer. They have got some grudge against certain people. In fact, if they could catch God, they would also even try to make him suffer, which the demons have shown that they tried to catch God in his incarnation, but instead he just kills them. They don't know who they're up against. So this thing is always there. The materialists are very envious of each other, and then the big materialists, they're even envious of God. So therefore, this process of devotional service is so wonderful because what it does is it takes out all envy from the heart. One should be careful that envy doesn't re-enter the heart or doesn't still stay there. Prabhupada said that we can dovetail every kind of vice with devotional service, like lust, greed, anger, intoxication, madness. But we can't dovetail envy. We can dovetail lust just like one can be very lusty to serve Krishna or to get something, or just like some of the devotees of Krishna were very lusty to serve Krishna. That kind of lust is actually becomes purified. Then, greed, you can be greedy to get some nice things for Krishna, greedy to get some, oh, here's a nice person. If only I could give that soul to Krishna's service. Anger, someone's coming and trying to hurt Krishna's devotees or the deity or create some disturbance. So devotee can become angry to defend Krishna, just like Arjuna was angry to execute Krishna's desire in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Intoxication, the devotee becomes intoxicated with love of God. Doesn't use artificial systems like drugs or narcotics or alcohol, but simply by chanting Hare Krishna and feasting on Prasad, he's sufficiently intoxicated with transcendental ecstasy. Doesn't need any artificial crutches. So then, even we know in the nectar of devotion, sometimes the devotees, they become so mad with the ecstasy of love for Krishna that they actually become illusioned. Or they mistake that Krishna's in a tree and they hug the tree or something like that. So many things are there, but this envy, or why that devotee is so advanced, or why that devotee has this, or why that. Just your envy, where that someone else appears to have something that one doesn't, and then so one, a person becomes, wants to bring that person down, you see. That aspect, if someone else has something more than another person, still one shouldn't want to bring that person down. You may want to pull yourself up. That's another thing. That's allowed. You can always desire to advance yourself. But not in the material world, this idea is advancing by pulling the one person back to advance yourself up. That is not, cannot be dovetailed. Not to hurt someone else. Krishna, of course, he can dovetail. But for us, it's very difficult to dovetail. Krishna can dovetail like Hiranyakashipu was envious of his son for being a devotee. And so sometimes you could say, well, Nrsimhadeva was envious of Hiranyakashipu. You see. So whether you call it anger, enviousness, or whatever, in Krishna it was perfect because it was there to protect this devotee. If Prahlad wasn't connected, then he would have some other person take care of Hiranyakashipu. It wasn't necessary that he personally do it. He did it to show special favor to his devotees. So this is the quality of the Lord. He's very kind to his devotees. We can see why devotional service is in his heart. Devotional service is therefore so dear to the Lord. It's so intimate that it's in the Lord's heart. When Lord Chaitanya was showing his Mahaprakash. You know the Mahaprakash? The Mahaprakash means that Lord Chaitanya is always in the mood of a devotee. Correct? He's in the mood as a devotee. So we don't generally disturb his mood like that. We don't approach Lord Chaitanya that now you are the Supreme Lord. He goes like, oh, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. I'm the servant of Krishna. I'm the servant of the servant. Like this. He's in that mood. But one time in the Srivasa's house, he became in the mood of Krishna. His original mood as Krishna came out. And that was caused by a worship of Advaita Acharya worshipped his lotus feet by putting tulsi on it, which Lord Chaitanya would never allow because he was always taking the position of the devotee. He would only allow tulsi on his head. But this time, Advaita was telling everyone that actually Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. So he put the tulsi on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and Lord Chaitanya, he actually assumed his original form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And people could see that he was Krishna, he was Rama, he was Varaha. All their doubts were removed in that regard. And so for 21 hours, there was a non-stop arti, a big kirtan. And during that arti and kirtan, Lord Chaitanya continuously remained in this mood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was not in the mood as a servitor, but in a mood as God Himself. So at that time, he offered Lord, banana salesman Kola Vecha. I think I told this when I was here before, that he offered a special boon when he brought him over. Then he offered that you've served me so nicely that I want to give you mystic powers. You take mystic powers. So Kola said, I don't want any mystic powers. What do I do with mystic powers? I don't want mystic powers. He said, well, no, you become, I'll give you a great kingdom. You can be a king with hundreds of servants and fields and army and the whole works, palace. You'll be a great king. You take from me this blessing, be a king. The banana salesman, the Sridhar says, no, no, I don't want to be a king. It's not what I don't want to be a king. It's not what I want. You take liberation from birth and death, old age, disease. Take liberation to the spiritual world. He says, no, no. I don't want liberation. So take liberation. Then I don't want to. Well, what do you want? Lord Chaitanya, all I want is that I can see your laughing, smiling face. When you used to come up to me and joke with me as a young brahmana and steal or pull from me various vegetables and I want to continually see that beautiful transcendental face of that young, say, naughty Brahman. I want to simply serve you life after life. You see, wherever you are, I simply want to render service. I want to, wherever you take your incarnation, I want to provide you with all your vegetable, banana, spinach needs. That's all I want. I don't want liberation, and I don't want to be a great king, I don't want mystic power. Just let me provide you your vegetables and bananas. Let me serve you, that's all I want. I just want to render service. I don't want anyone. So then, Lord Chaitanya was very moved by that. So then he said, well, now I want to offer you one thing, which even Lord Brahma and Shiva, they don't normally get very easily. So I'm going to offer you pure prema, pure love for God. Because of your desire, now I'm going to offer you pure love for God and Krishna prema. And when Lord Chaitanya said that, and then he benedicted Sridhar with pure love for Godhead, which is immortal and which is pure and complete, all the devotees there exploded, Hariva, Hariva, Hariva! The banana salesman got what even Brahma and Shiva couldn't get, all by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And their whole place exploded. They were jumping up and down. Haribo, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Jai Gauranga, Jai Gauranga, Haribo, Haribo. And they were jumping and shouting. They were just, and some were fainting. They couldn't believe it. How Lord Chaitanya had benedicted. In this way, their kirtan and the arti were going on like that 21 hours. One after another, Lord Chaitanya would bring up the devotees and reveal their original form or give them these benedictions. Marai Gupta was brought up. He said, Marai Gupta, you are my eternal servitor. What can I give you? He said, do you know who you are? He said, Marai Gupta. He said, do you know who I am? And then he showed, first then he took a form. Suddenly he was Ramachandra and Nityananda was Lakshman. And there was Sita also there, and Sita was fanning him, and there Lord Chaitanya became Ram, Lakshman, and Sita. Everyone were there. All of a sudden, Marai Gupta looked at himself, and he saw that he was Hanuman. When he saw he was Hanuman, and that there was his eternal Lord, Ramchandra, he was so overwhelmed that he fainted on the spot. He became stunned to have that realization that actually his eternal form was that he was Hanuman and he had taken birth in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes just to serve his eternal Lord Ramchandra in his form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna and Ram, all in one. They're all there. All the incarnations are within Lord Chaitanya. He's the original form of Krishna in his devotional mood. So everything, all the incarnations are there, especially Ramchandra, Lord Chaitanya is revealed in his Sharabuj, six-handed form. Two arms is Ram, two is Krishna, and two is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So in this way, one by one the different devotees, they had their eternal form revealed to the Lord. They had all these mysteries revealed. So this is also our great mercy that by Prabhupada's kindness, we are able to render some devotional service, even though we're filled with doubts and offenses. You can see that actually, devotional service is no small thing. Devotional service is so rare, so wonderful, that to actually achieve devotional service is the highest perfection. Somehow, in spite of our offenses, in spite of all our defects, Lord Nitai Gaur is still allowing us to serve. You see, why should we become proud? Why should we allow ourselves to become swept away by material desires? You have to be very, very careful. It's like getting a jewel. Once you get a jewel, You have to be very careful not to get it stolen. There was one devotee who had a nice $1,500 ring. Was in Colombia, Australian devotee. Now in Colombia, everybody knows that there are a lot of thieves. If you don't know it, now you know it. But this person, not only did he go for a walk, but he went in the worst place. He went in some back slum area on some side of a hill, wearing a $1,500 gold ring, out in the open. So, naturally, I mean, even there, sometimes there was stories about people getting their arms cut off just to take their Stiko watch or something. So, I mean, lucky they didn't get them cut off. Person came up with a gun, held it to his head, said, "Give me a ring." Even then he was hesitating while trying to talk him out of it. He was very attached to the ring, but ultimately decided that he was more attached to living. So, gave him the ring. So, just like that, we have a ring, or we have a jewel. Naturally, we get very attached. When he got back, his wife was really angry. "How do you give up such a valuable ring?" Well, it was a choice I had. Could have kept the ring, but lost my life. So anyway, this is the situation. You have something valuable. They have to protect it. You can't just walk anywhere, in any place, and do anything in any... with anybody and expect that you're going to come out of it scot-free. Right? There's certain places where you just have to be very careful. So this material world is God. It's places in goodness, passion, ignorance. And so a devotee sometimes may associate with goodness, but always avoids passion, ignorance like the plague. Because he knows that there I'll lose the jewel of bhakti. The devotee avoids all the type of offenses to in devotional service, just like the plague, because he knows there I'll have my bhakti will be stolen away, or it will be somehow it will be polluted, or it will be cheated, or something it'll be I'll be cheated, and I'll lose my devotional service. So you must have heard, if you look through the songbook, you see some places. You see some places where it's mentioned that amake banchita kori vinna. Don't do banchita to me. You know the meaning of banchita? Actually, even though I know Bengali, I never looked up this word for a long time. I just said don't cast me away or something like that. You know, I never, for some years I didn't bother to look it up. What was actually the exact meaning of banchita? But then the more I learned the language, the more I learned, banchita means something altogether. You know what banchita means? It means cheat. They pray to Krishna, "Don't cheat me. Don't let me be cheated by Maya. For Maya is going to offer me some imitation happiness, some imitation truth, some Maya, it's illusion. And I'll be cheated, and instead of taking you, by being cheated, I'm going to go off and take some imitation happiness, some imitation reality. And then later on, after so much endeavor and so much effort, I'll find I was cheated by Maya, where she'll somehow or another delude me into leaving your lotus. And then after who knows how many births or how many millenniums, again I'll find myself here again praying to you. I don't want to go back and be deluded into, I just want to stay in your devotional service. Samaki banchita kori benna, don't allow me to be cheated. It's after all your energy, you can do whatever you like. So please don't cheat me through your energy. I admit that I committed so many offenses and mistakes and sinful activities, but now I simply want to serve you. Therefore, there's no use in allowing me to be cheated again. I admit I am completely infinitesimal, small. I can be deluded if that's your desire. Who can overcome your own potency? But now, I've given up all other desire. I simply want to serve you. So don't let me cheat you again. I'm very afraid of this cheating. Even Prahlad said, to some extent that as long as I have your shelter, I'm not afraid. But otherwise, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of losing your shelter because then I'll be cheated. Lose the shelter of Krishna, then Maya, she can cheat us. She's expert. Maya, what is not? She knows how to present something in one way, and it's not that. So here Rishabhdev is saying that in his heart is devotional service. So if we can render devotional service, just see, that means we'll find a place in his heart. So you can understand how dear the devotees are to Krishna, that he's giving them a place in his heart. The devotee serves the lotus feet of Krishna, but Krishna is so kind, he brings them up to his heart. So then devotees should also be careful that if we're running devotional service, we're coming up to the heart of the Lord. We can't turn around and then forsake Krishna. Of course, he's very transcendental. If we don't put someone in the heart, unless he is sure that that person wants to eternally serve him. Once you put there, then of course, there's no higher perfection. Then one is engaged in this intimate service with the Lord. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Ram. Any questions? Yeah?
So, I'm not sure, Jai, but because we're devotees and we're supposed to cultivate our spiritual lives, the question is, how can we actually really understand Krishna on one hand through the scripture and feel like we're advancing, but on the other hand, we're doing this work, this devotional service, and maybe it doesn't allow us enough time to practice revealed scriptures, learning the scriptures. So how can we be guaranteed, even though there's devotional service, that we can be assured that to the end we'll be taken back to Krishna? If, you know, if we don't really have an effective understanding of
Prabhupada gave me a service of building Mayapur, and then at that time, day and night, we had two ships of construction. We were working, 600 people working under us, three devotees. So then I went out to Prabhupada and said, I just want to take out 2 hours a day for reading books, because I'm not getting any chance to read, so I want to take out. Prabhupada became angry at me and said, you think that there's difference between serving and building my project and reading my books? You see any difference? No. Then, Hare Krishna. That's it. Of course, the point is that why somehow or another I still managed to squeeze out a half hour here or there, something. It takes some desire. This idea that we have to stop our service to read. Actually, if we really go through our schedule, cut down our eating, cut down all the little times that we're wasting our 20 hour for sure, whatever. If we really go through the schedule, we can squeeze out some time every day. And if there's really so much service that needs to be done, well, that's also shelter that protects us. We have to see if there's that much emergency service we have to do. That was a big emergency in Mayapur. Of course, Prabhupada generally tells everyone we should read for an hour a day. But if we attend two classes, that's also reading. We're hearing a class, that's also reading. It's not that we're not reading. We're hearing the Bhagavatam every day. In addition to that, we can get time for reading, we have to just really economize. That way, if we have a desire that we want to do our service so quickly and so perfectly, so that we can get a little time for reading, not a little more time for sleeping, a little more time for gossip. As soon as we get a little time, we sit around and start to gossip. Or we do something else. We have more taste sometimes for pajalpa or for other things. But if we actually try to squeeze out the time and then we get a little time, we immediately sit down and read. So that's very good. We don't want to have a lot of spare time. How much can we read anyway? We can only read as much as we serve. Service creates in us an appetite for reading. So that way, if you are competing with your time, to do as much service, then even do it more efficiently, better, just so you can fit in a little time for reading. You see, then that way it'll be harder for Maya to catch you. In the spiritual world, there's sevya, seva, and sevaka. There's the served, the service, and the servitor. The process of the person, everything is the person served, the process of service, and the servant. These three items are completely spiritual, and therefore the spiritual world is called absolute. There's no tinge of material contamination there. So we just have to see if we can keep our consciousness in the service, then there's no problem. If our consciousness is becoming agitated, we need some special instructions. So then we have to discuss with authorities. But as long as the consciousness is good, one doesn't have to think that, well, just by serving you're not going to get where you want to go, because actually this service is completely pure. Rather, just like, I don't chant more than 16 rounds. First I'll chant 16 rounds, and then I'll read. And then after I complete what I consider to be enough reading, then I'll chant more than 16 rounds. You see, so I might priority first finish my rounds, then read. Sometimes devotees chant 20 rounds, 30, you know, of course, not always, but sometimes they chant more rounds. Well, my next priority after rounds is reading. Then after that, then more rounds or something if I have more time. So in this way, somehow or another, we have to adjust everything without actually reducing. We shouldn't reduce, we should now think how to further increase. If there's so much service that you have no time for reading, and if you're so expert that you're also not giving any time for Maya in your day, well then you're still safe. And of course you're attending class, so some reading is there. That's also reading. Not that Prabhupada didn't think this was reading. Then you can further become expert or arrange to engage other devotees who may not be as fully engaged. You can just squeeze out a little time for reading. But our goal is not to reduce service, but somehow fit everything in, increasing as far as possible. And if that can't be done with one's own service, then you try to train up other people to take up more responsibility, make more devotees, train them up like that. Is that all right?
Yes.
How did you say?